open up your Bibles to Luke 18. I feel like the Lord is going to have us minister a little bit tonight on prevailing prayer. Now, last week, if you remember, we did a refresher of why, I reread the original statements of Pastor Dave at the first meeting of the Calling in the Lost service, and how you can call out your loved ones and lost family members, lost friends, or just in general, and call out to the Lord. And we reviewed those verses where Jesus said, "Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest, for the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few." And the very next thing that happens is he sends out the 12. Then the next chapter, he sends out the 70. So that's the Lord responding to them praying to the Lord of the harvest. So we take that same principle. It doesn't matter if you've got a relative that lives in Colorado or Bangkok, Thailand. It doesn't matter where on earth they are. You can call their name out before the Lord and pray the Lord of the harvest, and he will send laborers into that harvest. So Dave says, now once you've done that, then you need to have faith like God heard you. You know, you don't have to ask him every time you get in prayer, says, "Let me talk to you again about so-and-so," in the sense of like you didn't pray before. You know, God likes to be treated like he's real. Did you know he knows he is? God knows he's real. And when I think about this in regard to like the grandchildren, Lily, you know, it's silly to me to think. I mean, Lily would come all the time with different requests, you know, like, "I'd like a new bicycle," or "I'd like, Mimi, could you help me get a new pair of shoes?" Or coming to me, you know, I remember the time she needed some new roller skates. You know, she'd outgrown her roller skates. And so, "Papa, can I get some new roller skates?" "Well, sure, honey, okay." You know, she asked me, I responded. Now, she didn't have the skates yet. But now, if 30 minutes later she'd have come like she never talked to me at all, "Papa, can I have some new roller skates?" "Well, yeah, you know, you asked me 30 minutes ago." "Yeah, the answer's still yes." "Okay." But she doesn't have them yet. We haven't gone to the store, actually. And 30 minutes later, now you'd think something's wrong with her. Or, like, am I real? Does she know that she's talking to a real... So we want to treat God like he's real, but there is such a thing also as prevailing prayer. And it's not a matter of asking for the same thing over and over again. It's once you ask, he says, "Put me in remembrance of my word." Do you remember that? So let's look at Jesus' teaching specifically on prevailing prayer, and it's Luke 18. Now, I have a teaching that probably the most heard message I've ever done called "Truth Changes Fact," and it comes from this passage. But that's not the truth we're going to bring out of it tonight. This is prevailing prayer, and he says that's specifically why he taught this parable. So Luke 18:1, "And he," that's Jesus, "spake a parable unto them to this end," or you could say, "for this purpose, that men," and that includes women, mankind, ought always to pray and not to faint." If you look that one up in the Amplified, I should have printed it out and brought it, but it says something along this line: "Turn coward, give up, and quit." You know, and you know, be honest with you, that's why in the early days I kept a ring binder. I would make a petition, any kind. I mean, we had nothing. The only way we could get anything, we had to go to God for every computer, every printer, every stack, every new batch of cassette tapes, because money was staying away in great abundance. And so we would go, and whatever it was, we would ask God, and I'd write it down, put it in a ring binder, so I'd date it. Okay, this is the date that I asked, and I believed I received, and I know he heard me, and I'm not going to ask again. But then every day I would use that ring binder really to keep my faith alive. One preacher said, keep the switch of faith turned on. And that's part of prevailing prayer. God doesn't forget. But now don't ask me how I know this. But if you don't do something like that. Yes, sir. Okay. I'm dealing with people that's real here, that's been here a while. You know and I know that we have before asked God to send laborers to save certain people, and we meant it, and we were sincere, and then we forgot. And time goes by, and And it's not a matter of prevailing prayer, but it just didn't happen. And over the course of time, other stuff did happen, and our focus shifted elsewhere, and we just forgot. That's not prevailing prayer. Prevailing prayer continues somehow, which we're going to look at here, until you get the answer. So I probably should read the parable. Let's read the parable. Okay. So that's the purpose of this parable, is to teach us to pray and then not to quit. So verse 2, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. So she has a petition. She wants something done about this. I want something done. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Now let's just stop for a moment. I just can't even tell you, growing up in a denominational church, how many they would stop right there and begin teaching, saying, now this just goes to show you, you got to storm the gates of heaven. You have to wear God out. I've had them even put their arm up like an arm wrestling match. You know, it's you're going to have to get a hold of God and not give up until you prevail and you get your answer. Trouble of it is, he says, I gave you that example so you know what God is not like. See, because if you keep reading, see, anytime somebody's talking and they use the word and in verse 6, you see that word and? And means they're not done talking yet. Don't make conclusions till after the and, okay? And, the Lord said, now hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry, now notice, day and night unto him, though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them. What's that next word? Speedily. He is not like the unjust judge. It is not a matter of arm wrestling God almost against his will. I'm going to arm wrestle you and bother you and wear you out until you give me what I want. That's not what prevailing prayer is. We're going to look at what it is here in a minute. But I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. I like to make a confession right there. Join with me. Say, my Father answers my prayers speedily. He's eager to answer my prayers. My prayers get answered speedily because Jesus said they did. Now, what does speedily mean to somebody who lives outside of time? We'll talk about that another day. I mean, have you ever heard of, had a real prophecy from Dave or a real word from God soon? And then 21 years later, and to God, that's soon. But anyway, sorry. Did you know Joseph, the coat of many colors, the vision that he had of his parents and the brethren bowing down to him, the one that got him in so much trouble? From the day he had the vision until the day that happened in Egypt, did you know that was 22 years apart? Soon, anyway. Shall not, verse 7, shall not God, see, he's drawing a distinction between this unjust judge. Most people think God is like that unjust judge. You have to just wear him out. He doesn't really care about you. He doesn't care whether you get your answer or not. He doesn't even care about justice. He doesn't care about what's right or wrong. The only reason he's answering your prayers is because you wore him out. That's really what's taught. They don't use quite those words, but that's the end result. But he's saying, no, your Father is not like that. Sermon on the Mount, soon we're going to get into, like maybe even the next lesson. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Knock, and the door shall be open. Jesus teaches our Father is not like this unjust judge at all. Okay, he's really more like me when Lily was little. I don't care if I was on the phone with a major consultation with maybe Dr. Jim Martin. I mean, there may be thousands of souls at stake. I'm exaggerating a little. But I'm on the phone, and Lily burst through the door. Jim, I gotta go. I like that. When he sees me come in to make a petition, he's a universe. Hold up a minute. My son Gary's here. I gotta find out what he wants. Amen. I think that's what he's after. Let's have that attitude. Well, let's see an example of this, even from the Old Testament. Go all the way back to the book of Daniel. I know that's back where the pages are still new. It's page 1233. And we're going to start in chapter 10. Now, he doesn't give a whole lot of detail here in chapter 10 about what he's praying. He does give some detail about the vision. If you want to get a sample of Daniel's prayers, you have to really back up into chapter 9. So let's go there first. Okay, verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of that guy, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. In other words, talking about the books in the Old Testament. The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications, now notice, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. Now notice, boy, if Daniel prayed that then, I wonder about praying now. As a nation, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. We'll just stop right there for a moment. I think about in this nation, they took prayer out of school. They legalized abortion. Millions of babies murdered. Now they've legalized same-sex marriage. I mean, it just seems to be no end. It's like, let's just stick our thumb in God's eye all that we can. So these prayers, I think, would apply to our nation too. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and to all the people of the land. He goes on and on here. Come on down to verse 10. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws. Now, for us, it'd be walking according to the new nature. Walking according to the commandments of Jesus, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, and we could go on and on. So you see his attitude of heart. He's coming in repentance and prayer, but he understands that the time of their desolation, which was 70 years, is coming to an end. So he's praying. Now, how much similar prayer, how often he prayed along that line, we're not told. Let's go over to chapter 10, because we can learn some things about prevailing prayer from even from Daniel's experience here in chapter 10. Let's start in verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. Now, this is where we get what's commonly called the Daniel fast, okay? I ate no pleasant bread. Now, that the word bread there really just means food. I ate no pleasant food. Neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. So let's say 21 days, right? 3 full weeks, 21 days. Now, at the end of this, at the end of the 21 days, he sees a man. I guess we can read part of it. He says, verse 4, and in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is that one, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of that place. His body also was like the beryl and so forth. He's describing this angel that he's seen. And then come on down to verse 10. Let's see. Verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Can you get the posture that he's in there? And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. Now, please get this. If you underline, you could underline this sentence. For from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. When was the prayer heard? The very first day. But here it is 21 days later. Now what's going on? If this angel was dispatched on the first day, what's going on? Because it's 21 days later. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Now that's a demonic spirit. In Ephesians chapter 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the darkness of the rulers of this world, against so forth and so on. And he's talking about demonic forces that rule over nations, okay? And he's saying this demon, he calls it the prince of the kingdom of Persia. It's a demonic spirit, a ruling class demon over the region where they're living, withstood me 120 days. So if you're making notes, know this. Your prayers looses angels. Angels are involved oftentimes in the answers to your prayer. Now, I don't see anywhere that we pray to angels. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. But when the Father answers, it's obvious to me, there's angelic movement in realms that we can't see. Well, we can see if the Lord opens our eyes. You remember in the Old Testament, I believe it was Elijah and his servant Gehazi. And Gehazi was worried out of his gourd because the army had come, and there were thousands and thousands. And Elijah wasn't worried at all. And he said, oh, there'd be more with us and be with them. Gehazi looking out the tent window, if they have a window. Thousands of the enemy. And he looks, you and me, two against thousands. And the prophet just said, oh, Lord, open his eyes that he can see. And the Lord did. And suddenly, Gehazi could see on the mountaintops thousands upon thousands of angels in chariots ready for war. There be more with us than be with them. But just like in that case, angels were involved in the warfare. And when we pray, we have to remember angels are dispatched. That's why we have, even in the calling in the lost, angels are dispatched. But that also means demons are dispatched. And there is warfare. And sometimes it takes prevailing prayer. I haven't got a real answer to this, but I've asked the Lord before. I think I know the answer. I haven't heard anything on it. But what if Daniel would have stopped after 20 days? Would he have got his answer? I don't know that he would. See, and that's the prevailing prayer. He says, I'm teaching you this so that men always will pray and not quit. Don't quit till you get the answer. I don't know how long Daniel would have stayed with it till he got his answer. But point number one on prevailing prayer, why prevail? There's resistance. There's resistance. Angels are dispatched to answer that prayer, and demons are dispatched to stop them. So let's look here again. Verse 13, but the prince, in other words, he says, I heard your words were heard, and I was sent on the first day. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. This is how you know that angel was sent the first day. Because he withstood me how long? 120 days. So that angel, I like to say it this way, The answer was dispatched the same day he prayed. When Lily asked for the bicycle, in my heart, bicycle is done. It's in the place called done, right there. Okay, it's done. I haven't been to the store yet. Trust me, it's already in the garage as far as I'm concerned. It's already for her, okay? All right. So, and if you don't quit, I noticed 21 days this angel was warring, and Michael, another angel, another archangel, by the way, had to come help him. So if you don't quit, more angels are dispatched because you're going to get your answer. Say it with me again. God answers my prayer speedily. He answers the same day I pray. But resistance is there. And I'm supposed to pray and not quit until I get my answer. Amen. Amen. You seeing this? All right. So I could go on, but that's you know, he goes on to explain all of this stuff that, oh my goodness, this is wonderful. I brought this little book again because we prayed a prayer out of here last week. This book, in case you can't see me, is called Prayers That Avail Much. It's by Jermaine Copeland. It's been around forever. This one is 3 volumes in 1, but they have just the original is good. You need to have your own copy. I can't post these because they're copyrighted. But now last week we prayed this prayer, Salvation for the Lost. And the way this one, and this is all scripture. They've just taken scripture mostly from the Amplified Bible and made prayers. 2 times that I know for sure I'm praying God's will. One is when I'm praying in tongues. I am 100% confident the Holy Spirit is not going to pray anything that's contrary to the will of God. Now, I know I'm praying, but I can't direct those prayers. You remember how Dave would tell us those jokes, you know? The early days, somebody's learning about praying in tongues. Oh, good, good. I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to direct my tongue, and I want to pray. I'm going to pray in tongues for God to get me a new car. And he said, and what that is, that's angel entertainment. Because they're like up in heaven, they got a new little believer, they're watching somehow through a portal, they're going, come here, there's another one. He's praying in tongues and he thinks he can direct what it's about. And look, there's another one. And Dave would say something like, so the guy thinks he's praying about a new car, but really what he's praying about is God thinks he should stop yelling at his wife. No, but I do know when I pray in other tongues, I am praying the will of God. That I know for sure. The second thing that I know for sure that I'm praying right is when I pray His Word. When I have His Word for it and I'm praying what He's already said, I know that's a prayer that's going to be answered. So we prayed this last week, and I'm not going to pray it again the same way because you think He heard us? But see, I didn't get a phone call. I don't want to mention a state or anything, but I told you I've got one in particular, and really there's more than one, that in my heart, I prayed about last week. Here's the problem. I didn't get a phone call from him this week saying, an angel appeared. I fell to the glory of God came through my roof and I got saved. I didn't get a phone call like that. So as far as I know, nothing has happened. Well, what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to prevail. Now, I'm not supposed to ask God again. I'm supposed to believe that I received when I prayed. So I'm going to tailor this a little different than what we prayed last week. We're going to make a confession out of it and put God in remembrance, okay? So you could just say this after me. Say, Father, it is written in your word that we are to make petitions and prayers, intercession and thanksgiving on behalf of all men. Father, I know you heard me when I prayed. I know that you heard me regarding my loved ones. And I know you have been sending laborers after them, just exactly like I asked you to. I know you're also sending angelic help to do warfare in the heavenlies against all enemy forces that would try and blind my loved one's eyes from seeing the truth of the gospel. Father, I know you answer me speedily. Father, as far as I'm concerned, it's done. I thank you that my loved ones are saved. I thank you that they're filled with the Holy Ghost. I thank you that they're truly born again, new creatures in Christ, and serving you all the days of their lives. Father, I thank you they'll spend all eternity with you. In the name of Jesus. Something like that. I would recommend a ring binder situation. Or nowadays you might put it on your phone. This was long before the days of a cell phone when we were doing that. But nowadays, on my phone there's a thing called Notepad. I have my to-do list there. I have my grocery list there. I have all kinds of things there. Well, now I've got names that I have specifically prayed for there. So I can just quickly go before God every day. And the one, I'm not going to call their names out publicly here, but I say, Father, I just thank you that Joe Blow is saved, that you heard me. You heard me when I say, you know, heard me when I prayed. I thank you that Jane Doe is saved, you know. And Father, I just put you in remembrance. I know you heard me. I thank you those angels today are still warring on their behalf. And I thank you that there's be more that be with us than be with the enemy. The enemy can't stop this. I just thank you that it's done because you're my Father. You're not the unjust judge. And you answer me speedily. And I'm just looking forward to hearing the good report, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, you could apply the same thing for anybody that you're praying for. Yeah, but I don't think Okay, so let's go to Luke. I'll tell you where in a minute. I think it's Luke 12. Let's see if that's it or not. Might be 11. Yes, it's Luke 11. I was close. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And then the Lord gives them, almost word for word, the same Lord's, what we call the Lord's Prayer, as recorded in Matthew 6, which we've already studied in the Sermon on the Mount. But in Matthew 6's account, he then goes on to teach them the difference about serving God and mammon, and he goes on to teach them about their personal needs being met and not living in fear. But here, he tends to go in a different direction, and he's talking about ministry, which would include prayer for other people. You've heard me teach on this in the past. So when he finishes the Lord's Prayer, he teaches this, starting in verse 5. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, and that just means boldness to ask, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now let's just stop for a moment. One time when I was going through this passage, we're just reading it like we just did, which of you has a friend that would do that? And it dawned on my lightning quick mind, I don't have any friends like that. I mean, I think even my next door neighbor, who I just is really an acquaintance, I'm not really friends with them. We don't do much together. But even at midnight, they wouldn't like it, me getting them up and asking. But if they had bread in the house, and I asked, I'm just pretty sure they'd give it to me. And if my acquaintance will do that, how much more will my Father do that? See, and this is bread for somebody else. This is not even for your needs. Someone has come. They need it. Now, we're talking salvation, but it wouldn't matter if they would need healing or it wouldn't matter what they need. They're in need of bread from heaven. They're in need of answered prayer. Okay? And you say, Father, I've got to get it from you. I don't have it within me. I need bread for them. Can you give me bread? He says, well, even a friend would rise and give you just because you ask. And then he says in verse 9, and I say unto you, now this is our instruction, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Can you imagine? Okay, let's get back to the lily example. I just can't improve on that. Y'all know how I feel about my lily cakes, especially when she was 5, 6, 7 years old. Now you just wait till Briley gets a little older, our great-granddaughter. We don't have much yet, but anyway. She breaks the cutometer. It pegs the cutometer. Cute-o-meter? Okay. Anyway. Can you imagine Lily coming and asking? No, get away from me. Get away. I ain't got time for you. Get away. We tend to think that's the way God is. That's not the way he is. He's like, universe, wait a minute. B is here. B has come. What do you need, B? Oh, you need something for somebody else? You bet. How much do you need? I mean, we should know that's how it is. Okay? Because that's what he's saying. If a son shall ask, and notice how he does this in relation of son and father, not religion. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? If he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then being evil, and he just compared to God, if you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, and I love the way he words this, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, this isn't really teaching about getting them baptized in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who manifests the bread. Oh, God. So if B comes and asks, and God says, okay, I'll just take the Holy Spirit with you. He's the molecule changer. And whatever you ask in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to do that. Will that get it done? That'll get it done, she says. Okay. Now, if we ever understand that, revival has come. Revival has come. Say it with me again. God answers my prayers speedily. And he does it every time. What he wants from me is prevailing prayer. That I don't stop until I see the answer. It's one thing to pray. It's another thing to prevail in prayer. And I prevail until I get my answer. Answers for me and answers for those I pray for. In Jesus' name. Amen.